You seem concerned.
I'm very concerned.
What?
I am very concerned.
My intros are great. Hey, here. People love my potato drill. Very highly rated. Okay, are we ready?
Should make it into an actual game.
We could. Too much work. I'm lazy. I'm playing too much Heroes of the Storm. I don't have time to do things. I stopped all elements of my life have stopped. I just play Heroes of the Storm. I'm not going to be at the six pack next week. I'm playing Heroes of the Storm all Saturday. Nathan's in charge.
You want to charge of what?
I
downloaded Heroes of the Storm.
Nice. I saw when I see Raylene on, I assume that's you because you use her Blizzard account and her Nathan.
Yeah, because
right?
It would take too much effort to refriend everybody.
Correct. It wouldn't be that hard.
Maybe it
really wouldn't be that hard. You would just join one game with us, and then
fine, I'll
you
make
would friend
my own
all
account.
The groups. Yeah,
but all my Diablo characters are on her account.
That you never play that again.
I heard the latest patch is kind of cool. I almost downloaded it. I'm somewhat on Blizzard right now. It's atrocious.
You're just hanging off their balls.
Is there anything to spend money on except for Hearthstone cards?
And Hearthstone, it's just, well, yes, you can use that gift card to buy Blackrock Mountain or the two expansions.
Next round.
Oh, the expansions and stuff. That'd yeah. What about Heroes of the Storm? Is there anything money?
Just, characters, skins, mounts. Mostly, you get, basically, as you play the game, you earn gold. You can use gold to buy characters or you can use money to speed up the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the expansions for Hearthstone are pretty good because you can get a lot of cool cards out of that.
Are the Lost Vikings unlocked already? Or do
you have to, well,
you can spend 10,000 gold or spend, I think, like $10.
I've played over the course of a couple months, you could probably get 50 to 70,000 gold. So really, you play a decent amount, you can buy a lot of characters with gold. There's never a reason to spend. Only reason you spend real money is...
But I don't ever want to play anyone who isn't Eric the Swift. Yeah.
Well, you have to place it. Well, either then you could day one spend $10 and get them, or you can play someone else for a few weeks and then you
no,
can get enough money.
That second thing is an abomination.
Right, $10.
Okay.
They're extraordinarily hard to play, but they're amazing. Their learning curve is very challenging.
Well, that seems like the perfect thing for me to do my first time ever playing a MOBA.
Yes.
Just play the most. Like, Brian
that
had
way
a character.
I can get frustrated and quit.
Yeah. Brian had Abathur, and I didn't understand what he was doing because he was like. Not really possessing my character,
but
he attached himself like a leech to my character, and so I got to see his like icon above me, and then I was upset because then he gets to see all the horrible things I do.
We should go.
Okay. We are recording.
Oh, we are recording. Oh, good. Well, that's fine then.
I mean,
keep talking.
This is all perfect. Good
that's,
stuff.
That's
for
I,
it.
That's
but
why
we don't know what episode it is. I'm so confused now. What's happening?
You're
episode
one.
The
I'm the introduction. Stop. Oh my god. Welcome to episode 118. I need to start off by apologizing for the last 117 episodes. I didn't know people listened to this.
People don't.
I thought it was just us talking. I didn't know what actually went out to people.
Oh.
Hey, yeah.
These things in front of you, they're called
the
microphones.
The number of people who messaged us to let us know that Croak Hunters could work for Blindwater, now I feel like people listen.
Yeah.
Like, that's so many extra listeners I didn't know existed.
I have said a lot of racist things on this podcast as humor to myself. Not that I meant it, but I've said terrible things about everything.
Because you, yeah.
And, you know, it's a secret I'm racist. But don't tell anyone. I thought I was a secret racist. Now I'm publicly a racist.
Somebody needs to take a picture of this. I just realized that Brian is outbearded. Brian is completely outbearded.
What?
You're the only clean-shaven person.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm civilized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a real job.
It costs a lot of money to keep a beard looking this good.
Well, no, it doesn't. I am living proof it does not.
Well, he said looking good.
Oh.
You have the homeless dwarf beard. He has like the I actually grew myself beard. Nathan has the rapist beard. It's a little bit of each of them. I'm sorry, Nathan. That was mean.
What is this?
I heard it out loud. I'm like, that was mean.
Nathan's beard does not look anything like Bill Cosby.
That's true. I think it's because it's red. You get the redder the beard, the more rapey it looks to me. I don't know why. It's just a thing to me. But that's just me.
So that's your bad thing is Ginger's tooth.
Ginger's a rapist. I don't know. It's terrible. See, people are listening now. Now I feel terrible that I'm saying these things. People actually are hearing the words that are coming out of my mouth. Before it was fine.
I didn't actually say the full sentence. You right. Completed it. So you're the bad person.
I was trying to make a Robert E. Howard quote about your civilized thing, and then you called me a rapist.
Sorry. It came out so fast I couldn't stop it. It's one of those things where you just know you're doing the wrong thing, and you're on a roll.
We should do intros.
But barbarism is the natural state of mankind.
My name...
Civilization is unnatural. It is a whim of circumstance, and barbarism must ultimately triumph.
And my name is Brian One. today. I have to put the one after my name for reasons we'll find out momentarily.
Well, just call yourselves Brian, and then the other Brian, there'll be two
I's.
Don't
call him Other Brian. We just had the conversation.
I didn't say Other Brian. I said the Other Brian with the lowercase o, because I'm merely describing the situation where we are sitting. There is, and I was like, if there's a Brian, and then there's the other Brian. There are two Brians. The point is, one of the Brians will have two I's in Brian, because it'll be the Roman numeral two, and the other one will have one I, because it's the Roman numeral one. This made sense in my head.
I have
Nathan.
I believe you just labeled me as the other.
No, it was with a lowercase o. You are not Other Brian. I was just saying, there's Andy, there's Brian, there's Nathan, and there's another Brian.
This podcast isn't just racist, it's personist.
Not the other, another.
Another. Okay, well, when you put the A and N in front of it, it makes it totally yes. different, right? It's yes. like the A and the ER.
Yeah. What? I wasn't listening.
It's all right. I was on a different track. I was on the same track, but a different one. But I am P. No, E. Brian. Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Eberron?
Well, no. I just was like, we were on a conversation
Oberon?
Of
Brian. Are you Oberon? Brian.
Sure.
Yes.
Call me that.
Where's Loki?
Oberon Martell.
Yeah.
My one of my jobs, they just called me Geezy.
Yeah.
And then, like, at conventions, we always call me Carnage. Yeah. So very rarely am I called Brian. It's a very rare thing. Sometimes it'll be a con. Someone will call it Brian. I won't turn.
Nope. Yeah.
I very rarely am called Brian at events. It's always Carnage.
Or Geis.
Yeah. Well, at conventions, it's... Well, people, but at conventions, it's usually Carnage.
A lot of people would call me by my last name, too, and I was the only Brian in our friend group, so I didn't really get it, but...
Yeah. That happens to me. Kerr. It sounds cool to say Kerr. It's like Kirk, but without the, you know, the last part.
Until you start playing Magic and realize there was a card named Filthy Kerr, and during that whole block, my life was hell.
Yeah, so my sister-in-law calls my brother Hoffman, just because since they're military family, that's what everybody called him. Yep. Just everybody, nobody called him out. They're just like Hoffman. So she just calls him Hoffman.
Yeah, that's basically how military goes. Yep. And my name is Andy.
Oh, you didn't go first?
No, I didn't. I didn't go first. And here's my brother, Brian. And my other brother, Brian.
He's not an other brother, Brian.
It's another Brian.
It's my brother from another mother.
Yeah.
Another Brian.
I miss Larry and the Darrells. I miss them appearing on television. God, that was like 30 years ago.
That is definitely like 30 years ago. That show stopped being on the air before a significant portion of our listeners were born.
If anybody doesn't know, that's the Bob Newhart show.
No, it's not the Bob Newhart show.
No, is it just Newhart? Never mind. Yep, my bad.
Although, it's possible it was the Bob Newhart show. Because the finale, Brian.
Okay.
Newhart?
No, I don't know.
At the end of Newhart, Bob Newhart, who was the star on Newhart, he woke up in bed next to the lady who played his wife on his previous show, the Bob Newhart show. So it turned out his second sitcom was all a dream from the character that he played in the first sitcom.
That sounds like the worst thing ever.
It's hilarious. Actually the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Also,
to
also,
see him wake up in bed next to his wife from the previous show, it was just like, what? He's like, I had the weirdest dream. I was running a hotel in Vermont.
That also helped sponsor or basically bring about the best ending to Breaking Bad.
That was a ripoff of the actual ending to Newhart.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of stories that have done that. And the reason you don't hear them is because they're terrible because of that ending. Maybe it's better on a show.
Well, I mean, the concept of a show being a dream is offensive to the show. It's like the ending of Star Trek Enterprise. Now, you could say the quality of the show is bad, but the ending of Enterprise is an insult to anyone who liked the show because it turns out that it was basically just a hologram in the running. The ending of Enterprise is it ends and you have
Riker says computer end simulation and it
was, oh my god,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. So it's a really big kick in the ass to it.
Never watched Enterprise.
So it's hard because the show was all comedy levels. It was like in that case it was considered funny and okay because the whole thing was a comedy show. It wasn't like
just the show is a dream. The fact that bringing his wife, the cameo by the wife from the previous show is what really made it amazing.
Yeah. But the kind of thing could be awful. I don't disagree with that.
Enterprise started out really weak and terrible, And then it got really good season for a while. It had like Nazi aliens and everything.
Season two had an entire season arc where they basically started off and one of the aliens that shoots a laser through like Florida. It like cuts a hole through Florida.
Yeah.
And then they chase them down and the whole season's about these villain aliens.
When they entered that arc and actually like made shit happen, it got way more interesting. And then they just pissed on it and ended it.
Yeah. Isn't it like only four seasons?
It's only like three. Then it didn't even hit four. It was two or three. It did not hit four.
Okay.
But yeah, they ended it with a huge insult.
I just know that a lot of people seem to like it that I know in the Star Trek fans, but I never watched it. So to find out that that's how it ends,
yeah.
I almost want to see it. Just
you meet certain races. I mean, it starts off pretty bad because there's a Vulcan, and it's all they find excuses to make the hot Vulcan not wear much clothes. Which as a viewer, I'm like, okay, it's cool, but it's kind of an insult a little bit to the show.
Yeah,
but it does actually have some cool characters over time, and they meet all these races for the first time and. They actually meet the leftover Borg from the North Pole because of the whole thing.
Oh.
So they pull the Borg in it, kind of, because that can't be... Because obviously, if it was full Borg, they would have all lost. So it's like quasi-Borg shenanigans going on. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, but it's so ham-handed the first few episodes, though. Because I only watched the first three episodes, then I stopped because I was infuriated at how bad it was. And then I heard from other people that it was getting really good. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe I should watch it again. And then it ended, and they said the ending was the worst thing ever. But like the thing that made me stop watching was like the end of maybe the third episode or whatever... He has to make some kind of decision of, or, you know, whether he should do the right thing or whatnot, whether he should interfere. Yeah, there's like a plague, and they could cure it.
Yeah, okay? So it's basically the prime directive.
They don't have one.
Here's the thing. Oh. At the end of the episode, he's like, maybe someday there will be a directive, a primary directive of some kind that could guide. It's like, fuck you, okay? I get that you're a prequel, but shove a pumpkin up your ass. That's terrible.
The same thing with Gotham. The same problem Gotham had. Yeah. But this show adjusted beyond it.
Like, I got that there was the lack of the prime directive that was the issue.
Correct.
But the last minute of the episode is him monologuing to the camera saying, I wish the prime directive existed. Credits.
Yeah. That's also the kind of the issues I have about technology aboard Star Trek, where they have to explain, like, here's this robot. This robot is going to go do this and this and this and this and this. I'm like, oh, I see how this is going to be used later in the episode. Yeah. Thank you. Rather than, like, Star Wars, where they're just like, here's a sword made of light.
But, yeah, I mean, that's fair. But a lot of people like the more technical attempt from Star Trek.
Yeah.
But it is Star Wars is more fun.
But you're right. Every episode of Star Trek definitely was Chekhov's gun every time. They're like, yeah. I, for some reason, have this device that all it does is vaporize things made out of corn. And then he puts it on a shelf. And then 20 minutes later, they're attacked by a corn monster.
Yeah, like, oh, my God.
Good thing this is here.
That's my favorite episode.
Yeah, I like Cornholio.
What do you think, Brian? Beavis, Cornholio, best or worst villain?
Probably one of the best.
All right, excellent.
But what I'm gathering from this conversation in general is if I wake up at the end of this episode with Jeremy in my bed, it'll make this episode good.
And both kidneys intact.
Yep. I'll just be like, I had the worst nightmare.
There were three other guys
in the room with me mocking my same name.
So Jeremy's not here, so I'm going to make fun of him for a second because it's important.
Yeah.
We play a lot of Heroes of the Storm together. And there's a lot of we play with a lot of listeners with Heroes of the Storm. Jeremy... People might know it talks a lot. That's a thing you might know about Jeremy. When you play Heroes of the Storm with him, he loves to say what's happening. But the thing is, him and me are next to each other on the screen. So he's telling me, hey, there's a guy there. I'm like, I can see that guy there. I'm actually playing the same game you are. That guy's casting a spell. Really, Jeremy? I think I actually know he's casting a spell. That guy is attacking you. Yes, Jeremy, I actually know. He just narrates every single thing that's happening to me like I'm not actually there. You casted a spell, Brian. Yes, I did. The entire game. I will say what's good about Jeremy is you need someone in here.
Whoa, hold on. Historic moment. Go on, because we've been wondering this for years.
When you're playing with five players, someone kind of needs to direct traffic a little bit, or someone needs to call stuff out, and that's a role Jeremy was born for. So because he's always talking, so we just make him have to, like, you know, boss people around. He bosses around, but he has to, like, say, go here, go here. So he gets that role because, I mean, to be fair, he's not going to shut up so someone no one else would have the chance to be that person. So it naturally works well for him, but it's the narration sometimes gets to me a little bit. It's hilarious.
It sounds like he's a bad Morgan Freeman in your life.
Yeah. If he had the Morgan Freeman voice, it'd be kind of cooler.
I would appreciate that if Morgan Freeman would narrate my life.
Yeah. If Morgan Freeman was hung out with me and talked as much as Jeremy, it'd be amazing.
Whose voice would you have? Have we had this conversation? I know I've thought this a lot in my own private life. If you could have any, like, if you could, so what do you got? You got James Earl Jones, Morgan Freeman.
Which black man would be your
Keith
voice?
Keith David. Well, so far, the big three black ones, Morgan Freeman, Keith David, and James Earl Jones. But you got some white ones, too, because you have,
keep going.
Yes, no, okay. Yes. So who?
From Thriller, the guy.
Michael Jackson.
Michael
not
Jackson.
Michael Jackson, not that white guy, the other white guy, the old white guy in Thriller.
I saw
Vincent Price?
Vincent Price. He could be Vincent Price, Tony Jay.
Who's another black guy?
Tony Jay's white.
I'm thinking of somebody.
Tony Jay's the guy that did the voice of like Megabyte in Reboot. He did the voice of the Elder God in the Legacy of Kain.
I'm thinking of the guy who played
Do you get Jackie Chan for the Asians?
Who would want an Asian voice?
I'm just saying. I don't know.
No. You know who it is. If you want the Asian with the amazing voice,
fuck, why can't
Mako.
I can't remember his name.
Mako, who he plays the wizard in the Conan movies, and he did the voice of Aku in Samurai Jack. He's got an amazing voice.
You look in the mirror and you say his name three times.
Candyman?
That's it. I could not remember his name. The guy who played Candyman.
Morgan Freeman?
No, really the Allstate guy.
The Allstate guy.
The Allstate guy. There you go. Yeah. He was in Backstrom, too.
I
think it's Tony Todd.
He's in 24.
No. I don't know.
All the Hulse's voice. It's his tone. More his tone than his voice.
I would personally want Roddy Piper's voice.
I think I'd have to go with I forget his name, the anti-Ron Swanson.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would make me feel a little more manly.
Mustache.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Mustache
that's
hippie
that's
man.
That's a great pick.
I was really in the DVD, in the movie store, and there was a DVD that the cover of it was just him and Tom Selleck as cowboys, and their mustaches just commanded such presence. It was the manliest DVD case I've ever seen.
Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
It was just Sam Elliott and Tom Selleck just on a DVD, mustaches a-bristling, exuding testosterone.
So, not to give away anything about Justified, but watching the last season of Justified with Sam Elliott, he was played a part.
You just said you weren't going to give anything away.
He was in it. That's all.
Well, that's basically a spoiler.
But he was in it, but he had no mustache. It was the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen in my life. It was Sam Elliott without a mustache for the entire season. You could see his upper lip. Yeah. It was like curvy.
Ron Swanson, he was on The Daily Show. He shaved his mustache.
Yeah.
He has a naked lip now, and that also he just does not look like himself.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the eyebrow episode too, where like they shaved half of his forehead off?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw him on Conan with that. But no, I couldn't imagine. I'll always call him the Marlboro Man for some reason because he just embodies everything that I would think like rustic and Western. I don't know. I mean, he might have been, but as soon as you take the mustache off, it had to filter. That had to be some of the testosterone filter just totally gone.
You just made me think of Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. That movie.
Don Johnson.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I haven't seen it.
You never seen Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man?
Nope.
It is a very cheesy movie.
Yeah. I know it's...
No one's seen Christopher Walken yet for a voice.
His voice, the way he talks is cool,
but his actual voice isn't that amazing.
Because you got some actors, I guess you guys, you like the old Peter Weller, even Christopher, what's the guy just died?
Lloyd?
No, or Christopher
Lee.
Lloyd.
Christopher Lee
is kind of a...
Christopher Lee's up there.
Yeah.
Think about it. Like I said, I go with Tony Jay, and you'd have to Google him and listen to, you look at his list of the cartoon supervillains he's played, and you go, oh yeah, that guy's the greatest voice ever. So he's mine.
If you were including dead people, I might say like Barry White, and then I just pretend I was like one of those.
Nope. Actually, I have the perfect voice.
You do?
Yep, I do.
Right now?
I do, now.
Okay, well then there's
yours. Not my voice, no.
Oh, but I'm sorry.
Perfect person, though. Clancy Brown. Do you not know who he is?
He wrote The Hunt for Red October.
No. I'm like, I will murder you. He's the Kurgan.
So, Tom Clancy and who's
Jack Nicholson?
Who's the Brown that made the
Abort! Abort!
His name is Brown.
Cleveland Brown. Steamer.
Yes. No.
Cleveland Steamer Brown. Fuck you. He wrote books. I'm done with this.
Jack Reacher?
Yes. Jack Reach Around.
Reacher Brown? What?
Preacher Brown.
Announcements. Time for announcements.
Steam sale.
There's a steam sale going on. Break your computer, save yourself a lot of money. Just throw your computer in the river.
I looked at the first day. I was not impressed, and so I haven't gone
day
back.
Day two is pretty good. More machine announcements. This coming weekend in Madison is the second six-pack event, 50 points. Be there by 9:30 if possible. I'm going to talk to some locals. We'll hopefully be there at 8:30 to help set up. And I mean 8:30.
I bought Castle Crashers. I bought This War of Mine. I bought The Wolf Among Us.
Oh, that's so good.
Hold on. I got to go to my next receipt. I bought XCOM Complete. That's the third time I bought XCOM. And I bought Valkyrie Chronicles.
I almost bought This War, that War one.
This War of Mine,
You forgot the one I bought with you.
Monstrum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought... Oh, that's because this is stacked. There's too many emails, so it has them stacked together. Yeah, I bought Monstrum. What else did I buy here? I bought Legend of Grimlock. I bought Legend of Grimlock 2? I apparently bought Legend of Grimlock 2, and I bought Octodad, The Deadliest Catch.
Yes.
I love the Steam sale coma. Like, I didn't even know you bought.
I didn't know I bought Legend of Grimrock 2.
You know you need help when you just, like,
I mean, this
zen
purchase,
buy games.
Yeah, the problem is, this purchase was, like, less than days ago.
See that right there? That button right there on my phone, I can press it, and I can say, here's $20, and then I get home, and there's games on my computer.
What did you just buy?
I don't know what I just bought.
You just pressed your phone twice. That was not good.
It's
just
an
example.
It's a force of habit.
You know, it's Counter-Strike 1. You know, it's...
Yeah. Ooh, Banner Saga's $5. See, like, right now, I'm buying Banner Saga. I'm never going to get around to playing it. Ever.
You just bought it. You just clicked it. All right.
You have an issue. Announcements. Nathan is broke.
Yeah, Nathan is out of money.
Also announcements.
Grim Fandango, half price.
You already own it.
So? I own it on the PlayStation. Now I can own it on my PC also. Although I already own it on my PC because I still have the original DVD I bought when it came out. But that one doesn't run really well and I have to DOSBox it because it's not designed for Windows 7. But this one will run cleaner.
All right, announcements.
Announcements. July 11th will be another Who's the Boss event. And that's it. That's all I have to say about
it.
Pegasus Games.
There is a cap because of, you know,
space
people, right?
Yep.
That's 50 points, right, too?
Yeah, it's going to be the 50-point one.
Super Meat Boy's $1.50.
I already own it.
And?
Yeah.
That's I don't
want
to play buy it again, Nathan.
I don't want to play it on my PC. Because, you know what resides on my PC?
What
resides on my PC?
A keyboard and a mouse?
Brian can answer for me.
Viruses? Porn?
Porn. Oh, I don't understand.
I'm going to go with
Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't have time to play any of these other games.
A lot of Heroes of the Storm time. Yep. So, yeah, so those are our Who's the Boss and Sixpack. Do you know of any events coming up, Brian?
No, I've just been trying to set up maybe an achievement league, and I want to do an ADR tournament in Baraboo sometime because ADR Season 2 looks amazing. But I have nothing fancy coming up. I think Oshkosh is just kind of... I find them out on accident, so those are the only ones that I have my fingers on.
Because you were there last week, right? How many people from Baraboo went?
Five.
So there's five from Baraboo, three from Madison, and two locals?
Yeah, two locals and one, like, kind of local from Oshkosh. Gotcha. So it was a Madison tournament, basically.
Yeah. So I found out, if we're going to announce about that tournament, I might as well go first because I did not place at all at that event. I found out when this event had, it was 50 points, and it had only a single list. So that was fun. Single list, 50 points. I decided for some odd stupid reason I would go to the, in a sense, quote-unquote newbie tournament with Raven in her theme force with three Mage Hunter Strike Force.
Well, I'm glad, not Hyperion. That I'm glad you lost, but I'm glad that if it was a newbie-ish, that doesn't just crush people because it's, you know. I mean, it's pure gimmick. That should, it's like Jordan's list is pure gimmick.
Yeah.
But I guess with your gimmick, it's like if they stay back, your gimmick doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't work because my first round opponent had Morvana, and the rest of his army was stealth.
All right.
So that's not good. And also she has sack pawn targets, which are shifting stones near her.
Oh.
So dice minus eighth on shifting stones. I'm barely going to hurt them.
I didn't even have to get my wallet out. My phone knows my credit card information.
That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
Take this away from me. You can have it back in 2 weeks.
No. I need to check it tomorrow.
My second round opponent.
You don't get to talk about impulse buying too many games just because yours are made of board and cost you hundreds of dollars.
I haven't bought a board game in a month.
Uh-huh.
That's an amazing statement.
How constantly do you drool over that new Zombicide Kickstarter?
I might check it hourly. That's not the point. I haven't pledged yet. I have 22 days not to. Anyway, Andy?
Well, my second round opponent, I ended up taking on Darius. Darius is also dice minus 8 on all the rolls as well. He had full jack spam, so he had like 2 centurions, like 3 hammersmiths, and I was lucky enough to actually kill off 2 of the hammersmiths with all my strike force and then get Iris onto Darius, so he had no focus to fuel his army, and that's really bad. But that doesn't stop the squire from giving Darius focus, which he allocated to 1 single jack, and that 1 single jack trampled over a ton of my strike force and Eris, needing hard 8s to hit all of them, a hard 9 to hit Eris, killed every single one of them. Every one of them that he ran over. And then Darius was able to then get power back up to his jacks, and that was not fun after that. My last round was against Thagrosh 2, which is another armor 17 caster.
It's like Oneless format has flaws.
Yeah, slightly. So in that one, I was able to single out a lot of things. Thagrosh, I just whittled down. I should have told my last opponent there about transfers. He was sitting at 5 health left, and he had a transfer. And I did 2 damage, two transfers, I think, or at least 1. I had maybe 2 more attacks left, so I did 2 damage to him, and he decided to transfer it away. Which allowed me for my final shot to actually just kill him.
Right. Whereas if he just eats those 2, he has enough chance then you literally can't kill him.
I literally can't kill him at then. I thought about this on the way home that I should have told him about that. But yeah. Hopefully he listens to the podcast, he'll remember that. You don't need to transfer low points. Yes. Count your opponent's attacks before you start transferring.
If you have X minus 1 transfers, where X is the number of attacks your opponent has, you just need 1 attack that doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it leaves you at 1 hit point, because once you have the same number of transfers that they have attacks, you are invincible.
Yep. And he would have had that. The only thing I would have did is I would have ran behind my Hyperion instead of attacking him in the last part, which he didn't really have much of an answer after that, but I decided to go for it on the final attack, which, you know. But anyway, I did kill him. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. Overall, how was your event, Ryan?
It was pretty decent. I brought Kalandra tier 3 because that's my spirit animal.
The new Kalandra.
Thing. Oh no way! Okay, the Children of Dunia all the way. Okay. No, it's elemental, or evolutionary elementalism. Right. But I just ran like the 11 beast version, because you play 66 points, and singleist environments are so subject to skew, and you just got to skew harder than your opponent, in my opinion.
What is she scared of? Like, what are you worried you're going to run into?
She
handles infantry, she handles armor. What's the problem?
The only thing I worry about with her, and I've had this conversation before, and nobody believes me, but like, and it's not, I don't think she has specific faction matchups that are terrible. It's just one that I worry about. And it's Evale's tier list, her Infernal Madness or Machinations or whatever, the one where she discounts Heavy War Beast by 1. I don't think she has the punch to take it out, other than trying to just get 1 beast at a time. But then again, like, Legion War Beasts are pretty glassy. So
yeah.
I don't think there's such a thing as a bad matchup for it.
So why don't you just go whole hog, 4th tier... Get some, or does the 4th tier?
The 4th tier, you need a Mountain King.
Oh, never mind. So everybody does tier 3.
So
never mind. Sorry.
Tier 3 is the way to go if you want a Mountain. If you want a Mountain King, and so I forget what the benefit is, but
not enough.
Not really. Oh, maybe you can start with your Animus up or something.
You
I
get
don't
a
know.
Second
Doesn't 3
Mountain King.
Yeah, actually, double Mountain King 2015. It'll happen sooner or later. But my first round opponent, I played against Esortia with a Conquest in Winter Garden, Phil with solos to taste, and he didn't commit to the zone a whole lot, so I tried to just dominate it on destruction, which is a terrible idea. So a Conquest marched in and popped me, and he was rolling hard 8s to hit every single one, and I had Bullet Dodger up. So as soon as he missed one, I was like, boink, out of your range. But nope, hit every single one. So I lost that one. I didn't get to dominate the zone because Fenris didn't die for a second time. But it was a decent game. I think I need to just in that situation like identify when to switch modes in a game, because you know you've got your assassination attrition or scenario, and I just misidentified it.
Well, that, if you stayed in attrition mode, you probably would have been better off.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Well, that's a core element of time and experience, but that's a core element of any player when you're playing an event, knowing when to switch. Like, okay, this turn is my best assassination. After this, I'm going to this mode, or I'm going, you know, you start in one mode. Yeah, knowing when to switch gears is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and in that list, to die to a colossal is almost embarrassing, because I will take almost? Those things. I will take those things off. Turn two most of the time. Oh yeah,
just with your slags, just pick them up.
It doesn't take a lot to get those 5-point beasts to half their list. But I accepted it and moved on and went to get pizza and beer, and then I came back a refreshed person for round two and played against my friend Ethan, who I drove up there with. He was playing the 48 model version of P Morvana's tier with like three blood trackers and two blood weaver units, and he put Brennos in there. And that, as soon as he hadn't played against my Calandra list as many times as we have played, and he didn't realize that the lightning troll or the storm trolls handed out lightning fists on melee attacks too. So it was just frying infantry, and he couldn't keep up with the regrowth. So he lost himself for a moment and tried to dominate an objective.
I forgot to mention this too. Now that you mentioned Brennos, Brennos is actually the reason why Ethan beat me round one.
Thunderbolt shots all day.
Thunderbolt Raven knocked her down with a crit.
Yeah, well, there you go. And Brennos that was it. For the win.
Yep. Brennos is not the most terrible thing in the world. I think Circle players just need to
not explain hate his defensive stats.
Well, he's only 4 points, so it's fine.
He's not good as his defense, or for defense, he's just immune to spells, which is decent, or enemy spells, which is not bad.
What's his defense armor?
He's 11-17.
Yeah,
and it sucks, but
I don't think he's a little terrible. Questionable.
Yeah,
I don't think he's terrible. I think he's got his application.
What is his point cost? I forget.
He's 10, yeah, 9.
Yeah,
he's expensive for what he is.
He is but he also like he can be.
If he had the exact same stats and abilities and was on a medium base for 7, he'd be doable.
Yeah,
play 150 point games, he'll add a lot of value to that game.
That is the problem. But it was also, I think it's the only heavy that list can take, because otherwise they can't take. I think they can only take Argus and Gorax's for that tier list. So it's got its niche in there a little bit. But I ended up taking that one by assassinating Morvana with Calandra and a couple trolls. Force blows a spell that screws over Morvana a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But in round three, I got to play against John's wife, Casey. Mm-hmm. And it was... Oh, it's not... Maybe it's two... No, it's not two fronts. Maybe it is two fronts. The split rectangular zones that are laid long ways.
Okay.
I just stuck to my zone and picked off beasts that were coming. So Thagrosh got an Angelius in and feeded it back after I killed it. I killed it again. It just wasn't... That list really... After that game, just the actually going through the motions of killing Legion beasts, it's really... I guess I don't fear it so much. I guess I just worry about having to cut through that many. But the list is really good. It doesn't have any terrible matchups, so it was decent for a single list. I walked away with third on strength of schedule. And
you started playing it right after it came out. You were into it pretty early. I think because after it came out, people realized it was amazing, and then I think a lot of light beasts are hard to find. I think you see it more, but it's hard to track down some of the models for it.
Yeah, the slag trolls are just about as valuable as like World Watcher or World Wardens. The skinny wold was when Bradagus's tier first came out. So now slag trolls, you can't find them. It's like people will be like, I'll give you my left nut for a slag troll. But the pyre troll and storm troll are easy to find because they're plastic, so they're in decent production, and they weren't big ones before. But I jumped right on that ship as soon as I could. It's an amazing list, and as soon as you can get play 11 points over your opponent, it's just great. And she's on ADR for Season 2, so like you can switch out beasts for double warders.
Yeah, you're going to have a ridiculous ability of just doing shenanigans.
I play 12 points up. Get on my level, scrub.
Psh, whatever.
Although.
Syntherian.
Yeah. My Doomshaper theme holds pretty well.
Nature of the Beast. 6 free Razor Boars.
Oh, well, that I didn't think that faction actually existed for a moment.
Boo.
All right, you coming down on Wednesday?
Challenge!
I can make that happen.
Yeah, all right then.
Thunderdome! It's happening.
I still have 32 shredders.
We need to find a fourth player. We need to find somebody to play all the Blight Wasps or something.
I don't have enough I have six.
Reptile Hounds.
I only have six of them, but I do have six more orders of the reptile, the packs coming.
There you go. Packs. So, four player game with the 9 points. With these four lists.
That'd be ridiculous and awesome. Sweet. You mentioned the next ADR. One thing that the one announcement I forgot about is Iron Gauntlet rules came out for the next season.
Oh yeah.
Yep. So it's pretty similar this year. You bring 350 point lists. The last four rounds, you mix lists together and you play. The big change this year was when you get to if you make it to the final four. Oh, the two things. One, there's no more divide and conquer. So play each list once. That was the old rule, I think. Play each list once.
Yeah. They got rid of divide and conquer as a rule, but you still need to choose to do it, kind of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they made you the last like you had to play. So now you can play if you want to play, whatever list you want. But if you make it to the top four, you can only pull models out of the list you actually played. So if you have that third list that exists just to pull models for list building, it no longer is helpful.
Yeah, your mule list, you could call it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people unhappy with this option.
The main thing people are unhappy, it works amazing in my mind at 32 or above. I really think it's super cool. There's going to be three rounds before the cut, so you can have access to everything. If you see something scary, you playlist one, and then you playlist two, and then you see something terrifying, you're like, I need to playlist one again. That's a choice you can make, but then you lose some of your options. Yeah. But you can play all three. It's where people are most upset about, and that I can see this, is at 16 or fewer players when there's two rounds before the cut. So you literally cannot get access to everything.
And that's a complaint, but I've seen that with Meyer, because that's how many Iron Gauntlets are only going to have 16. I mean, that's not going to be most events nowadays. I haven't seen a lock and load.
Sadly, the lock and load one.
That was really
like the actual championship Iron Gauntlet finale of the year is a 16-man tournament.
That is true. So the final.
So screen, hilariously, the most important one is the one that gets bit. Because the actual.
I wonder if they'd modify. I wonder if they. Well, they have.
It's got to be modified for that.
One thing, You could, if you were doing this, if you wanted to do like a lock and load, or not a lock and load, if you want to do an Iron Gauntlet event at a personal event, and you're not going to hit 32, you're going to have 16 or fewer. What you could very, very, very easily do is do three rounds and then cut to four. And do your gauntlet rounds. The rules say when there's four undefeated, which at 16 players means after two rounds, but nothing stops you from doing three rounds and then say, great, our two undefeated and the top two ranked other people are now...
Yeah.
You could do that. I mean, and that gets completely around that issue.
The rough thing to me is if everyone has... It's like if you play certain factions and if you get a bad pairing, you sometimes have to rely on the same caster multiple times. And if you get whatever hot Crix caster, certain you just need to play a certain caster against certain factions.
And that's the problem. I mean, divide and conquer, that's been the conversation.
And
with
and people have always been upset about that too in that environment as well. And sure, you can say, well, really, if you were good with your faction, you could win with anything. But the reality is there are hard counters, especially in today's world where skews are king. In a world where more people are playing skew lists and not playing skew lists, you need your choice of casters.
I mean, like, Gaspy 2 is one of the best casters in the game, and arguably the best. He's that S-tier caliber. You can be the best Crix player in the world. You do not drop him against Haley 1.
Yep.
You just don't. I mean, you lose that game. So it isn't a matter of just play better, scrub. I mean, there are rocks that beat scissors that beat paper.
If your opponent who's playing Haley 1 decides to, like, on a D6, that would be the spell that she chooses to cast that turn, then, and you know this in advance, then it's okay to drop hit.
Sure.
Gaspy 2.
Yeah.
Or if you have Whiteout and take Temporal Barrier off of her card.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like those rounds are mostly just set up to, and maybe I feel this way because the Reckoning book is really sticking in my ribs, but it seems like that's more promoting the well-rounded lists and try to get them away from the skew, but the thing is...
Theoretically, it's neat. I mean, it sounds cool. Play all your lists, you get to play from them. In theory, it sounds neat in a nice, simple, happy world where everything is equal.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. If everything is equal and everything in moderation is good, but the competitive world is skew lists and ridiculous nonsense, which, I mean, to be fair, it's fine if that's what it takes to win. If it takes to win, you're not going to bring shit if you need to win. But I mean, it's just the world that we have, so it seems punishing to some players.
Yeah,
unless, adds too much luck.
Unless it manages to encourage well-rounded lists enough to make your statement that skew lists rule the meta stop be true. One could argue that that's impossible. That's the life we live in. Is that skewless or skewless, and there's nothing you can do about it. But
I mean, I think unfortunately, I think it's what it is. I mean, I wish people would be like, would not do that, but it's just a thing that's happening. It's just a reality.
God, I'm just thinking back to when they first introduced Theme Forces, when we used to call them like tier lists and stuff like that. Just like everyone was like, no, I'm never playing that. That's stupid.
Well, the first
the first batch was, but I just find it interesting though. Is
yeah.
How the meta
people
changed.
Are like, I can play 11 points up, I can play 12 points up, my Xerxes list is a bunch of points up and a million hit points.
My
opponents all
lose advanced deploy, yeah, I gain all my spells for free. Yeah.
I mean, there's all these bizarre things Steam Forces do that just fuck with the element of the
By
game.
The way, so now we have hindsight, and from our previous conversation, the question from months ago, what does a Theme Force have to do to make Morgul 2 worth playing, is the answer take away advanced deploy from his opponent?
Still not enough. I mean, Morgul 2, you could have, I mean, I'll probably play the Theme Force because it's, you know, it's a little amusing.
What does it give to his, he gets guys that are different.
Whip slap. It's an ability where if they kill a model
whip
within,
snap.
they kill a model with a few inches of him, and if another model within a few inches of them can move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's whip snap. That's the same thing as what the Magisters
It's
have.
An amazing ability which gives Morgul threat range, but you have to like get those two elements together, which, I mean, when Jim played Rat, he got that off all the time. Yep. So if you play with practice, you're going to get it off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's neat, but I mean, it doesn't make him top. You know, he's still in the same tier he's in. He still has problems, but it is neat.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Fiora tier also, like trying to make the Cinerators decent. I don't think defensive line's enough to give them what they need. But if I like the idea of the Theme Forces like being created to correct a problem with a model instead of just like re-releasing a card. But it's. You have to correct it to the right extent, and I feel like they're having a hard time finding this like center where you don't make them like Cinerators. You don't make them Cinerator, or they stay Cinerator bad, but they don't get made Rune Shaper good. You know what I mean? Like Rune Shapers are amazing at 3 points.
Yeah, my one concern with Theme Forces is Privateer. When Mark II came out, they made the thing all models that exist will exist tomorrow, because they knew people when GW editions change. When GW Edition gets a new edition, you don't know if the army you've paid $1,000 for will cease to exist for 2 to 5 years. Yeah. I mean, that's happening in fantasy. Armies are ceasing to exist, and your thousands of dollars can go fuck itself.
Yeah. Even then, it would be a model that you have, like, one weapon type, and that weapon type just doesn't exist for that troop type anymore.
You have to saw their arm off and go on a new weapon.
Yep. So Privateer was like, we're not going to do that. And people are like, yay, they're better, and they're awesome. So now, when eventually, Mark 3 is going to happen. Every game needs a new edition ever over time. It's just, that's the reality of the world. I don't see how they can do Mark III and not break themes and say, well, okay, all the models are going to exist, but we realize FAU on some of the shit's too ridiculous. So sorry that you bought 8 units of that, but, you know, are they gonna say, well, we're going to keep that theme forces and just not change. I really wonder how they're going to approach that in the next theme, because their whole goodwill was, we're not going to make, every model you have has value.
Right.
So if we do a new Mark version, what's going to happen to those theme forces. I really hope, honestly, that they actually readjust it and change it and say, sorry, yeah, you have 9 units of that, but now you can only field 2. We're, you know, suck it up. You can still play the models. They don't cease to exist, but we had to make a rough choice.
Yeah, I think that'll make a lot of people sour, though, because that really, it doesn't feel like it's a GW thing. But it kind of has that same like air to it, where it's like, time to put these on the shelf, boys.
But if they don't,
your new book came out,
these
are good.
If they're forced to keep it the same, then the Theme Forces still have the same.
They can go a more subtle route, because they don't have to make it not, like, they don't have to say, well, guess what? You can't, there's no longer FAU Doom Reavers.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not allowed anymore. But what can happen is something like what happened to Bone Chickens. You know, like every Crix player owned 20 light jacks
because
you just threw fistfuls of them on the table. And then in Mark II, you field one, maybe two.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I field two versus six or two versus four.
And so, you wasted your money on those other half dozen bone chickens, but we got over it.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
They were still telling the truth. The models are still fieldable. People have paperweights.
Every year, people are more entitled. It's hard to get over things nowadays in our modern culture.
Yeah.
Every day, people are entitled more and more. It's just frustrating. I mean, like I said, I had six Helldivers because they were the shit. Now, I might field one or two occasionally, but I mean, I got rid of some of them because six Helldivers was never going on the table again.
Oh, God.
Mark 1 Helldivers were block
lines. I miss playing Crix in Mark 1.
It was fair.
It was just like, I get to win every game. Like, I'm not even a good player.
Even Keith Hooks could have won with Crix in Mark 1.
So good. Freaking Dark Seduction.
So, Brian, as the first-time guest on the show, do you have a topic or a hot thing you had in mind? We haven't talked about this ahead of time, so I'm just completely out of the blue throwing it at you. Any thoughts? I mean, you can say no if you don't have any, but anything in the game that you're like, that's weird, or I like X, or...
Or I could do something, too.
Yeah, I thought about it a little bit before I came over here, and one of the things that since I look at the game through an organizing point of view, because I'm always looking to try and grow the game, get more players into it, especially back like in the Baraboo area. And it's just like when I look at I use the Oshkosh store as kind of like my comparison point, because they run these single point list tournaments, and it feels like that what they're doing there is trying to, I think they said this once to me, is to make sure that their newer players get attracted to the event so they can keep it going. But when you only have two people show up, it makes me wonder, like, what do you think it is that really kind of grasps people into the game when you're trying to maintain somewhat of a competitive environment? Like, you know, 250 point list might seem like intimidating for some people, but I just don't know where to find this medium, because you're getting 235 point lists out there, and then you get the competitive people to not show up. It's kind of wonky. It's just difficult to find a good medium.
I know a lot of Madison guys chose not to go because it was a single list 50 point.
Mm-hmm.
Which we would have, I mean, if it was two lists, we would have probably came up for that.
More cards. I don't leave Madison for out-of-town events, except for Milwaukee when they're near Fazoli's and they're moved their store, so I don't know if I'm ever going to Milwaukee again. Yeah. But I will
There's a little Caesars across the street, themselves.
But yeah, if the event is not a standard 50-point event, I will drive 3 hours for a standard 50-point list pretty much any weekend. But if you start changing the format outside of that, I'm like, I can stay home and do some other shit that weekend. Just because the more wonkier it gets, I'm like, I like the core concept of War Machine being not the outlying things.
I was gonna say, as I do see where the TO was, you know, trying to make it so it would bring in more locals. I think it
sounds cool in theory. You only have to own one list. That saves you a lot of money. You know, you don't need to have all this stuff, and then. But I would think the locals would go there and be like, man, I brought my one list, but I had all these things that just crushed me because I didn't have the variety to pick from, you know? So it's a double-edged sword. You're almost better off doing a 35-point event with two lists in some ways and not push yourself.
I would rather do 35-2 than 51.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
I don't even like 35-2, but it's the same for me.
Yeah.
When I thought about it, like, I was thinking about it as well, and I kind of answered my own question, at least from my perspective, because all I do is think about War Machine, but whatever.
Nothing wrong with that.
So one of my theories is, number one is I think that maybe these early lists there's a lot of growing pains that come in with this one, because I think in this event specifically, not to say it was a bad event or the people who were running it are bad, but there was the line in there that's been in their last few tournaments where like the entry money is split between prize and acquiring death clocks. So they're going through these like growing pains almost. And I feel like when you're teaming away from the prize support, it doesn't dissuade people from coming out, but it might have a lot to do with it, especially when your random prizes might be like historically low and they're like, well, I'm not going to be able to win anything. And that's where all this like, not like you get a lucrative amount of money, but it is an incentive. And some people, you know, that's just what they like doing.
Well, and that's why I try to have, I mean, any event I run, I try to have raffles. It's like you finish the event, you have a chance at winning something neat. You don't mm-hmm. need a place. You get to come have fun. Maybe you walk away with something neat. I think I found raffles draw in more bodies than anything. And I go out of my way to get prizes that are rare or hard. Like I bought And it's being shipped now, so I'm sure I'm getting it. But I got the 10th anniversary Hordes box, and I have the special Haley box coming just so I can give them away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I spent 3 hours going through the damn fucking online store nonsense that they can't get their servers right. But I got them, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm obviously going to reimburse myself the cost from the event. I'm not ridiculously stupid.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give them away. I mean, to the July event, someone's going to win that $75 Haley thing.
Exactly.
Randomly, some new guy could come in and say, hey, I'm playing some War Machine. Oh, look, I got this rare thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, and when you give those high-value things away, it's pretty easy to recoup it from the entry fees because yeah. enough people come up, and you don't have to be an amazing player to win. You just got to be lucky.
Sharing the wealth has always been a great tournament thing. Like, I know in Blood Bowl, they do... Not only like the first through three get prizes, but like the first two get like three skulls or something. Some kind of random event.
Blood Bowl tournaments are the true Little League. Everybody's getting a fucking prize in a Blood Bowl tournament. You show up, you're getting something.
Here's your participation trophy.
Yeah. Well, you get dice. You're getting patches.
You are leaving with something.
Yeah, you get something.
Yeah, even that reminds me, even something as little as dice, like customized dice for people that are store specific, people like lose their nuts over that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just that one dice where that's one, and hopefully it's a fucking six, is
the cool looking symbol as the one.
Zombie side dice confuse the fuck out of us because there's stuff on the one and the six. You're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
I know. You just roll it and you're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's the neat symbol. Shit, I rolled two ones.
And who thinks that? Who's like, I want our players, you know, I want the people who buy our product to be really angry every time they see our symbol.
Exactly.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Axis and Allies players love them.
That is true. That is definitely true.
The one market.
But yeah.
Unless they're rolling for technology advances.
But that's the reason why I made that conscious decision to make sure on our crippled system dice that it's on the six. I remember Daikon put theirs on the one. Beautifully looking dice made from Chessex with the fire, and they put it on the one. Why would you want somebody to hate you every time it rolls one? It just, no.
Yeah. And if you, as an aside, since this is a broadcast that hopefully somebody other than our parents listen to, that's a joke.
My mom listens. I can't stop. Make her stop. Try. Oh yeah. My mom listens. She loves when you're live. She fucking watches the live stream. She goes, "You look kind of nervous the other day. Were you feeling okay?" I'm like, "What?" I don't have any idea what you guys are talking about. But it's, you know, I like to watch you. I'm like, oh my god.
I think we're gonna start live streaming again.
My mom fucking loves it. And if when Katie's on, when she's been really, really racist, because that's what Katie does, I'd always put it on her Facebook page and tag her mom, make sure she doesn't do it.
But the Chessex website is where you can get that stuff done for the most part. I don't know if there's another one that does the custom dice.
Custom dice, Andy used to get some custom patches. You know, the six pack, you get T-shirts, and people love. It's amazing how little shit. It's so much fun. It's a game where you just want little things to go with your stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Pins and coins. Jesus Christ. Whoever came up with that idea, I tell you, I'm so excited to coin with trolls one of these days. Someday.
Speaking of swag, well, I'll bring this up.
Calandra on Saturday, you'll do fine.
Yeah.
I'll bring this up. Who
plays trolls?
Well, don't be sick.
Yeah, I know. I just need to not want... The thing was,
You petered out.
Oh, man. Third round, I got to play against Alex, and something about his face just made me sick to my stomach.
His beard?
No, I was actually really sick. I ate a moldy pretzel bun, I think, but whatever. Then I had to fight Jeremy, and I was just like, oh, my God, he's talking.
What half your death clock is useful because you're in the bathroom. You know it's a bad... It's going to be a...
Who even got the troll coin?
It was the new guy, He's one of the he works at a game distribution company that's local.
AC guys?
Yeah.
The funny thing is, when I run events, once there's over 32 people, I have no memory of anything. I just run and make sure it works, and like, who wins what, I don't know.
Yeah, he's recently coming back to the game troll player, and he played Calandra out of tier, and he got beat me on strength of schedule, that bastard.
But you guys he got 11th place. Jeremy got like 10th, he got 11th, and you got 12th.
Yeah.
Was how it came overall.
What was I trying to say before?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
It was about how awesome I am.
Oh, you said speaking of swag.
Oh, yeah, speaking of swag, you didn't play Mark 1 at all, right? Mm-hmm. So, interesting thing about Mark 1, this is something that was awesome that Privateer did. Now it's just logistically impossible to do. They made it where if you won a tournament, you can send in a list, your list into their company, and they would send you gold cards for all the models in your list.
Cards you played in that tournament.
And I still have like all the – I have I save all my Mark 1 gold cards because they were really sleek.
And that was actually kind of cool because it encouraged you playing different lists because you're like, I don't need another gold Terminus. I need to win a game with Scar. I don't have a gold Scar card.
And I
need to field her with, you know, Seethers and whatever, Blood Gorgers because I don't have a gold Blood Gorger card.
That does seem neat. My dream that I've always wanted to do is I was playing Shredder Spam before everybody else ever played Shredder Spam. I mean, I played it with only three casters in the game at the time for Legion. I wanted to send in me winning a tournament with 24 Shredders.
Sure.
I wanted the guy who pulled out the list and looked at it and like, fuck. Do we even have 24 Shredders?
But,
yeah. But I never got it.
That kind of that makes more sense with the gold pre-release card. Maybe it's a throwback.
That's kind of what it is. I mean, but I mean, it wasn't. But the whole core was. I mean, which sticks out a little bit. But the old gold cards were cool. But it'd be such work for them nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And there were events back then, but the number of events going on now are just so much more than
they were
back
then. Foil.
Yeah.
Shimmery gold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I'll need to try and hunt some of those up. I am a avid Kador collector. That was my first faction, so I think, oh man, I almost broke the glass case when I was in Oshkosh because I got such a huge erection. But they had the Gale Force 9 dice and the Kador tin and the Legion tin, and I was just like, I'm taking them all right now. The only one.
How much did he sell them for?
$25.
That's a fucking steal.
I know. I was just like,
an amazing
I cannot
steal.
Say no to this right
for,
now.
For both of them
it
or
was for
a piece?
Each, but that Legion still, one, I know, like.
You could have eBayed that for like, each of those for more than that money.
$60-$70
I
for
hate
Legion
those fucking dice, by the way. I mean, I know they're great and the faction tins are cool, but I got the Crick's ones. I'm like, I wouldn't even. I hate them.
I'm still stuck on my casino dice. Like, something about rolling the big, like, angular, they look so genetically perfect dice.
Yeah. You can drop them. You're a cheater. Droppy drop.
Hey, man, I throw those things so high, I think I might knock out my opponent.
You're gonna, well, then you're chipping my model. Yeah, you either throw it too hard and you're breaking stuff, or you don't throw it hard enough and you're a cheater.
I'm more worried about my dice chipping. Those things look ragged now. Ugh, I tell you. Scenic tables are the worst.
I hate the casino dice.
Oh, my God. Speaking of scenic tables, I remember the War Machine weekend table. Oh, my God.
Back when it was still in
Springfield.
Springfield.
I thought you were going to talk about your game on Mount St. Helen or on the San Andreas Fault.
No.
Oh, yeah, that was annoying, too.
They had beautiful scenic tables, but they were all painted. They were pink foam.
Oh, so yeah.
Car foam. And so these things were just getting giant gouges torn out of them because people were using casino dice on them.
It's like a dwarven.
If I had my way, all dice but casino dice would be banned. Casino dice are nothing.
Yeah. I like them. They're easy to
I like
can
them.
Can I have my casino dice back then?
But I like to have them in a tub or something. It's fine. But yeah, Chris Johnson had like this ridiculously beautiful dwarven quarry that was up. But he never sealed it with anything. So it was just paint on top of pink foam getting destroyed. All the wall pieces were just being broken off by people walking by. It was so sad. It's so beautiful though.
Yeah, but it was beautiful.
I mean, he only spent the summer on it, so it'll be beautiful. Yeah.
Well, maybe he should have sealed it
and keep people away from it. It's too good to use or look.
All right. Well, we got 15 minutes left here.
All right. On our podcast.
So
recommendations?
Nope. We're gonna jump to something. Right. Nathan, I got a gift for you. I told you. I said I got you a gift.
Yes.
I did put
pants?
It. No.
Whoa.
No, not now. I took it out.
Okay.
You want to see it?
I want to see the thing in your pants.
I feel like this is a trap. Here it comes. It's a container. It's a bag.
It's just a bag.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Nate. It was yesterday.
Yep.
Hooray!
Happy birthday, everybody.
I'm so glad James was not there.
Oh, this is funny.
What's happy? What's in the box?
What's in the box? It's cool. And the expansion.
Yep.
The expansion, which is cool.
Do you have this?
This is the hilarious thing.
Oh, fuck you.
No.
It's on the iPad.
It is on the iPad. We need to play against each other. This is amazing, and thank you. I appreciate that. Because Coup is one of my favorite games now.
Yeah.
Coup is way... It is like, why would you play Werewolf or any of those other things with Coup? Like, even I love Resistance. Like, I think, you know, I'm probably the one who loves Resistance most in our group, but I still like, I would, you and I like fight for that position. Like, you and I are both Resistance obsessed, but cool.
But what's the bad thing?
Yesterday I went to Pegasus Games because it was my birthday and you get 20% off discount, and I would buy and stuff, and then I was telling the coup story from Friday when you said you didn't have coup, and James was like, well, here you go, and he threw a copy of coup at me, and I'm like, well, I don't want to buy it. And he said, no, happy birthday. So James Nedham gave me coup yesterday, but he did not give me the expansion, so you have successfully given me this. So this is good, and I thank you for it. But James sniped you like a fucker.
He's my soul animal.
Tea's done.
There you go.
That's hilarious, though.
It is.
But the expansion's super important because this has the team mechanic, which is hilarious. Have you played with the team mechanic yet?
Nope. Turns out, I kickstarted both of them. I kickstarted both Coup and Reformation. Turns out, I popped out of the box Coup. I never did anything with Reformation. In fact, when I looked at the box, everything is still in shrink wrap inside of it. I think they actually messed up my thing. So you're supposed to have 10, five. Can you look in that box, see if you have 10 of the gold coins? Because mine only
gold
has 5
coins.
Oops.
Yeah, well, Coup's fun. Coup's a fun little game. I don't know if I'm using. I guess we can try the expansion, but it's like Cyril. Cyril has expansions. I just want to play Cyril in the simplest form. I don't
Cyril
need
is much better
anything that. Added to it because the whole point is a nice generic, simple, fast.
What this does for the what are you asking if it has?
Oh, so it doesn't have actual coins?
No, your weird Kickstarter one must just come with nice coins.
Yeah,
because the expansion just it comes. Oh wait a second. Hold on, what's over here? No, this is just random shit.
Yeah, there's no coins. Kickstarter exclusive coins.
The main thing the expansion adds, it adds the ability to play with more players.
Okay.
By introducing a team mechanic, which is kind of cool. But when it says team, it's actually a lie. What it really is that you are allowed to attack people who are not on your team, quote.
Okay.
But on your turn, you can spend $1 to flip yourself to the other team, or you can spend $2 to flip somebody else. And so what's hilarious is, like, if the three of us are all one quote-unquote team, if you're all the same team, you can all attack each other. What's great is so you're attacking each other and you're playing or whatever, and then I just spend $2 to flip Andy over. Now both of you are only allowed to attack Andy. So it makes me invincible from you two because I'm now quote-unquote on your own team. So that's just a really cool mechanic.
Ridiculous.
And yeah. It's...
See, it comes with those, but the instruction booklet, it said it comes with 10.
It lied.
Yeah, I don't know why it has these nice fancy gold coins.
But does the normal game have that?
The normal game comes with the gray ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, although those ones look shinier than what the normal game comes with.
Yeah. Kickstarter exclusive shiny.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So then you can stop yelling at me when I accidentally take it out of my car.
Yeah, unlike you, I'll always have Coup with me.
I will have Coup in my car all the time. I took it out for when I...
Okay, for something. I won't bring Coup. I'll bring Lost Legacy.
Yeah. I'll bring the Kickstarter version of Coup, which has, like, alternate color cards and
all stuff. Alternate colors. Take
you
that.
You win. Your Coup penis is bigger than mine.
Yes.
I did miss out on the last Kickstarter, though. They had another... My word of advice to indie board and games, or indie boards and cards... they need to stop their fucking Kickstarters.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Slow down. Maybe.
If they keep taking your money, then they shouldn't stop because they like money.
Well, I mean, it's a coup too. They're just, yeah, basically Coup is like less than a year old.
Right.
Or just over a year old. Reformation, I got, like, it was out within 2 months after Coup ended. And then there was another one that just happened a couple weeks ago that I unfortunately missed. There's the One Night Resistance that just got released, which is like a werewolf version of Resistance. That makes no sense because Resistance is basically werewolf.
That's true.
But it comes with some exclusive. Each one of those Kickstarters all come with exclusive cards for all their other games. So it's one of those that, like, if I want extra cards, if I want it all, I have to get it all.
Sucks to be you. God damn it.
So I'm going to tell a coup story. The most recent game of it I played, the ending was fucking amazing. It's one of the best dramatic endings of a board game I've played in a long time. So only people who've played Coup, specifically the expansion version with the teams, will get this. But I'll try to explain it anyway, because it was great.
Just start already.
Fuck you. We're down to three of us are left. We each have one card left, so that's like one hit point for those who don't get how that works. And so what's happening is myself and my brother Jeremy and then another player, and the other player is just building up money to the point where she's going to, when you have $10, you yep. have to coup somebody. So when you have $10, your only choice is to eliminate somebody from the game. So I can't outrace her or stop her or anything, but what I can do is outrace Jeremy. So I keep flipping his team so that he's the only legal target. Because if I'm on her team, she can only attack people who aren't on her team. So Jeremy will flip his back so we're all the same team so she can attack anybody, and then I just flip his ass back over. So she keeps accruing more money, and I keep making sure that Jeremy's the only legal target. So finally what happens is, and then once she coups him, I'm going to be ahead of her in the race to be able to then, the heads-up race, I'm going to be able to beat her. So I got this game locked down. So I take my, Jeremy takes his turn, he flips himself over in desperation, spending his last of his money, or no, he can't even afford to. So I flip him. He's going to die. His turn is pointless. Comes to my turn. She's got $10. The only thing she can do is coup somebody. It has to be Jeremy because he's not on her team. So my turn, I say, all right, I have the Duke. And I'm telling the truth. We all know that I have the Duke. I said, I've got the Duke. I'm taking $3. And Jeremy says, I challenge. Which, for those of you who have played Coup and you process this, it was the most magical fuck you in the history of board games. Because what happened... Because he challenged me, I showed I had the Duke, because I was telling the truth. Yep. He was eliminated from the game. She took her turn and cooed me.
So he killed himself.
Instead of him dying to her and then me beating her, he just committed suicide to drag my ass down into hell with him.
Well, he's your brother, so
it was amazing. Because that moment, I'm like, I'll take three. He goes, I challenge. And I'm brave, like, I'm like, but he knows I'm telling. Oh.
So it's like when Keith's friend made him a silent.
Oh, it was such a spiteful fuck you, because he was dead. And he's like, well, you know.
Well, that was a F you. The Keith's friend yeah. was more of a...
Unintentional F you.
What yeah, do I it was do? Unintentional. This was pure kingmaking. He took the game from me and gave it to her, but I'd been fucking him over the whole time, so it was a valid choice. But it was just so subtle and magical. It just blindsided me.
Nice. Recommendations?
Yeah. This is probably a repeat, and everybody and their mother should have already done this, but I just was listening to the soundtrack to a TV show, and it was reminding me just...
Knight Rider?
I was getting emotional because of how powerful the soundtrack is, because of how powerful the show is. Everybody who hasn't already seen it should watch, and everybody who has already seen it should watch it again. Cowboy Bebop is a masterpiece.
Never saw it.
Yep.
It's a fucking... masterpiece, and I don't care if you don't like anime.
I like cartoons.
I don't care if you don't like cartoons. Cowboy Bebop is a goddamned work of art masterpiece.
I don't like Texas.
Okay.
The cowboys. I don't need to see Japanese cowboys. I don't get it.
That's
fine. Is this a movie or a series?
It is a one-season series. I think it has 12-ish episodes. So it's a marathonable one and done.
One feature length.
One feature length. That's kind of optional.
Yeah,
you don't need to watch it. It's a good movie. You know, but point is it's a one episode. It's a one season series that ties itself up. One and done plot line. It does a good job. It has one off episodes, but the arcing plot weaves its way in and out. Some episodes, even halfway through the series, there's random episodes that have nothing to do with the overarching plot, but it keeps coming back. And then the whole thing, just the finale. It's just so fucking beautiful.
Yep, I would agree with that completely.
It is an absolute work of art. And the soundtracks, there are so many. The music is very important. And same with the follow-up show, Samurai Champloo, the second show by the same guy. The music is just a huge part. But Cowboy Bebop. Just fucking Cowboy Bebop. Your turn.
I'd recommend Orange is the New Black Season 3. It's good so far.
I haven't watched one or two.
It's pretty legit.
It's lesbians in jail. I don't understand.
Okay, I watched the first 5 minutes of episode one because it had Laura Prepon's boobs, and I am a pervert.
Yes. I declared you that at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
So you've liked what you've seen of the new season?
Yeah, I've watched season one, season two. It wasn't something that I thought I would enjoy a whole lot when I first saw it, but then it hooked me in. Kind of Community did the same thing, but I really enjoy it. Like, I watched Oz when I was a kid, and it kind of made me feel a little bit like the PG version of Oz, but then I started... They've been doing better to make it more, like, interesting.
It doesn't have nearly enough J.K. Simmons, though.
No.
Who has always been one of my favorites, and now he's an Academy Award winning actor, and that makes me happy.
He deserves it. Cool. Orange is the New Black. Andy?
I have nothing.
Nothing, Rick. Nothing.
Nothing.
All right.
Is this the part where I tell a pirate joke?
No, it's wrong. Wrong podcast.
God damn it. I showed up to the wrong house.
I recommend Jurassic World.
Can I tell that?
No, it's my recommendation. I'm recommending Jurassic World.
I'm going to see it this week.
I was surprised that I enjoyed the sequel as much as I did. It really feels like there was Jurassic Park and then this movie. You can like forget about 2 and 3 for various reasons. And so does the movie. It's like whatever. Yeah. It's a movie that to me is a little bit like The Flash in the regard that it's fast and quick and it's fun, but you can't just sit back and think, wait a minute, at all. It's really like they said, hey, you 9-year-old kid, what would we if we could do all these things with dinosaurs? What should we do? And he's like, I got an idea, and then they just went with his idea. And that there's some of the dialogue is kind of bad.
So it's like Axe Cop.
But some of the shit they do in the movie is great. Like, I want dinosaurs to do cool things, and dinosaurs do cool things, and I'm happy. And it is worth it. It's the true summer popcorn movie that a summer popcorn movie should be. I would not. I think it's a decent movie too. It's not a masterpiece, and it's got issues. But I'm probably going to see it again. I mean, I haven't seen The Avengers 2 more than once, and I mean, I'm probably going to see this twice.
And it's lighter.
Yeah, it's just fun.
I'll jump on board and I'll say I'll recommend it too. I enjoyed it. I watched it this morning. It was.
But if someone would say, you know, I thought some of the dialogue of characters
don't you
was
have
kind
a
of
job.
Yeah.
I said, don't you have a job?
Today's Sunday.
Oh, today's Sunday.
Yeah. Fancy that.
God, fucking work in retail, man.
Ugh. Yeah, you've been working.
My last day off was Monday. My next day off is Thursday.
You have a story. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to tell a dirty joke.
All right, we're past that. Sorry, I ruined
you. Because I wanted to, they did pirate jokes, and I was so excited that I learned that new dirty joke I'd never heard. And so I was telling it to everybody.
You have to start off the next episode. That'd be like, we'll keep people in suspense. That's how we're building suspense the next podcast.
Okay.
So sad now.
You can tell your pirate joke.
Oh, I
you don't actually
oh,
have
no,
a
No, I actually
joke?
Do have one.
Okay, fine. Is it the steering wheel one? Because that's
no,
my
it's,
pirate.
It's
welcome
not a steering
to Muse
wheel.
On Miami for a minute.
Muse on Fort Lauderdale. Oh no, what was it?
Oh my god, this is how you tell jokes.
Never mind. I was thinking of like what else they did for CSI.
Great joke, Jeremy.
New York. New York was the third one. Yep.
What?
Well, because they have like if you think of Muse on Minis, the first one as CSI Las Vegas, then the second one was CSI Miami, and the third one was CSI New York. So that's how I do it. But at any rate,
where's the pirate? What is happening?
I'm working on it.
The pirates
it was
in
a,
New York?
It was a moment.
The pirates are in Pittsburgh.
Can I? I'm going to see if I can channel my inner pirate here.
Okay.
Brian, do you know how much a pirate pays for corn?
No.
A buccaneer. Yar.
Well, that happened.
I was confused why you were talking to yourself.
It makes it that much better, because then I actually sound like a crazy person.
Brian,
that's the time.
Hold on. I got another joke for you, okay? It is the best knock-knock joke in the world. You have to start it.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Fuck you.
Fuck you who?
I'm done with this.
That's our mantra. I'm done with this.
Oh, yeah. I've made my... I'm done. Made my day. Brian's going to kill me.
Well, there, fuck you. I'm telling my dirty joke.
All right, go ahead.
All right, did I tell you guys this one? Or you already left on when I told it?
If you told us the joke, we are not going to tell you that we heard it.
I know Brian hasn't heard it.
I have not heard this joke.
Start the joke.
This boy... 10-year-old boy.
Before.
Yeah, okay. He's walking down the road, and he finds a welder's mask, like, in the gutter on the side of the road. And he takes it and he puts it on because it looks cool. I mean, he's flipping up, flipping down, you know, making Darth Vader noises, whatever. It's fucking awesome. So, van pulls up next to him, and the creepy guy in the van's like, hey, kid, get in the van. Get in the van. I'll give you a ride. So the kid gets in. So they're driving for a while, and the guy's like, hey, kid, do you know what a blowjob is? And the kid, he flips up the welder's mask and he looks at the guy and says, no, I do not know what a blowjob is. And he flips the mask back down. They drive for a while and the guy's like, do you know what a hand job is? The kid flips up the mask and he's like, no, I don't know what a hand job is. And he flips the mask back down. And they drive for a while and the guy's like, hey, kid, do you know what a rim job is? And the kid flips up the mask and says,
hey, sir, look.
Look, buddy, I'm going to level with you. I'm not really a welder.
It's funny because perverts.
He doesn't actually get raped, so it's not actually a dirty joke.
Well, then that's then a minute later he's like, well, never mind. He just takes him back. Well, that's terrible.
That's
thing
you taking it. That's your joke.
What?
My joke. The guy says, "It's not a sorry joke."
What does Bill Cosby have to do with any of this?
Weldo Putty Pops. I don't know what.
All right, I'm going home. This was fun.
I'm gonna go watch Game of Thrones season finale. We're gonna have a whole another year before any more Game of Thrones, and that's bullshit.
And no one knows what's gonna happen next, including the book readers. We spoiled something for Jim. Jim was like,
yeah, he's an avid book reader, and we were giving spoilers to him. That's what the world has come to.
He was like, God damn it, you people are spoiling shit for me. This is bizarre.
It was great. Oh, well. Fuck off. I'm going to go watch Game of Thrones.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, so fuck off.
I'm going to.